Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life and Leadership Gap Analysis Series. On this series, we are talking about closing the gap on what we know intellectually and what we do when we're in the middle of the action. We're exploring the principles in motion, getting back to the basics by visiting the greats that we know and love, like Stephen Covey, Jose and Don Miguel Ruiz, and Patrick Lencioni, to name a few. In fact, the conversation is part of a 12-part series where we're exploring the 7 habits of highly effective people and the 5 agreements. Our intention was to bring together inspired minds for meaningful discussions about the principles of life and leadership and to explore the gap between what we know and how we're living our lives and leading with these principles. Are you sharpening the saw, like Stephen Covey says? Are you truly impeccable with your words, like Don Miguel Ruiz would say? I'm your host, Christine LaPerriere, with Leader in Motion, and I'm co-hosting with Charmaine Hammond with Hammond Group. We both work together to inspire and develop healthy and well-developed teams. Charmaine has worked with corrections, oil companies, non-for-profits, and everything in between. Meanwhile, I've worked with manufacturing companies, helping to build and design vehicles, and helping to grow consumer packaged goods companies. So between the two of us, we've covered a lot of bases with our experiences. With that, Charmaine, I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to introduce our guest today.
Great. Thanks, Christine. Well, I'm just delighted to introduce Lisa Menini, I'm a big fan of Lisa's, and Lisa's on a mission to change how we think about growing a small business, and she has just an amazing background. She's a best-selling author of Me, Myself, and Why, The Secrets to Navigating Change. She's a pioneer in taking a systems approach to profitability. Lisa is a business change and system expert who believes that we can all help to grow today's economy. You'll just love Lisa. She's got an incredible background that she's going to bring to the show today. Plus, Lisa and I know each other through the Evolutionary Business Council, which is an incredible organization of thought leaders and business experts around the world. So welcome, Lisa. Great to have you today.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. Thanks, Charmaine.
Well, I'm going to jump right in. When I sent the invitation to you and you sent me back, yes, I'd love to be part of the series, right away you responded. I was delighted with that. And you said to Christine and I that you were interested in choosing Stephen Covey's principle number 6, which is about synergize. So we're really interested in what resonated with you around that particular principle. Why did you choose that one?
Well, I think that's a real shift that we're seeing in the marketplace, especially with people that are growing their businesses and even social media. I mean, look what has happened on social media. There's a lot of synergy, a lot of relationships being built on social media. And actually people can communicate with people all over the world. So that synergy, that energy that you get from that is exponentially growing. And a lot of small businesses are then able to grow their business just simply because of that synergy that goes on with, social media alone, for example.
Yeah.
That's very interesting that you bring up social media as an area to synergize around. What are you seeing in your customer base as they're starting to manifest some of those kind of new opportunities?
Well, you know, there's in the U.S. alone, there's probably close to 495,000 new businesses started up each month. You know, a lot of the entrepreneurs that I tend to work with are actually former corporate employees, and there's this huge mindset shift that needs to happen when they go into being a business owner, because it goes from somebody paying you a paycheck to creating your own paycheck. And oftentimes, you know, I hear stories about how people came from work environments where there was, you know, let me protect my territory. Now that they're an entrepreneur, they're saying, oh, well, maybe I need to protect my, territory anymore, and what is the social media, and how do I navigate that? And oftentimes what I see is they're working on old or outdated belief systems when they come onto social media. And a really great case in point is, you know, oh, gee, I don't know that I could really cultivate a relationship with somebody who's my competitor. Well, when you're on, that's kind of an outdated belief system, because with social media, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition on there. And the more that you change those belief systems to say, you know what, but even though, let's say I'm a financial planner, not all financial planners are the same. Maybe my ideal client is different. So then you can synergize with another financial planner and actually cross referrals and pass referrals to each other. Even though you're both financial planners, you focused on different markets. So I think synergy has taken on a whole new viewpoint. And if your belief system is this old belief system and you go onto a new platform like social media, you're going to be kicked off quicker than you can say, be my friend.
That's so interesting, Lisa, what you're talking about right now, around this whole concept of this mindset that's no longer working in terms of that competitive approach and how you can use synergy to build collaboration. And I find that really exciting, because I'm now seeing a lot of folks in the entrepreneur world that I get the opportunity to work from actually trying to make that leap. And I think for a lot of people it's a tough leap, isn't it, to go from protecting our turf and keeping our contacts to ourselves to actually actively partnering and collaborating. We've done our business that way forever because I think it's sort of how I work. But I get that it's a real struggle for some businesses to synergize in that way.
It is. And, you know, another really interesting belief system is when they get on social media, there's this notion of push marketing. Oh, I've got to push my stuff out there and push and push and push. And really, even that belief system has shifted to how can I attract, how can I draw in. But if you're operating from an old belief system, you're going to try to push on these platforms, on these social media platforms that are completely different now. And if you try to push too much, rather than collaborate, rather than synergize, and rather than create a relationship, and I often share with them, look, social media is really no different than meeting somebody in networking. And people look at me funny, and I said, look, asking somebody to link in with you or friend with you is like extending your hand in a networking situation. You're kind of saying, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. So then think about it in terms of the next step. You wouldn't ask somebody to do business with you the moment you meet with them. You're going to say, tell me about yourself. So why wouldn't you say that on social media? And so this is the kind of the new way that synergy comes up, is just being able to navigate some of these new platforms. And if you take some of these, look at the similarities rather than the differences, I think you'll see a lot of opportunity there.
I think that's really interesting, because I'm just thinking even in my own small business how this applies, and how, I think for me, when I was in the corporate world, I always struggled because I was never very competitive and not very turf-oriented. I actually was, maybe a little too idealistic at times that we should all synergize no matter what department we're in. And, sometimes you get into struggles when your management disagrees. But the one thing that I find why synergy to me is so simple, especially now that I own my own business and work with companies directly, is that at the end of the day, if I genuinely want what's best for whoever I'm working with as my end customer, I personally want them to connect with my competitor if my competitor is the best, if they're truly the best, and they can serve in a very unique and special way, just kind of how you said, financial planners, et cetera. I mean, if you think all three of us, we're technically, you know, we probably deal with similar types of proposals and similar types of customers. But if I know that I want my customer to have the best experience possible, and I know that my talents are well aligned to some group of customers, but maybe less well aligned to others, I can kind of altruistically be very comfortable with, like you said, linking in with my competition or building partnerships with people that might be competing in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even small business has a great opportunity to leverage their business and create affiliate relationships. And with affiliate relationships, even affiliate referrals, oftentimes you can refer business depending on what kind of business you're in, but you can give them a referral bonus for any business that they send on to you. So even small business can really create some great opportunities that are not only altruistic in nature, but they can also be profitable in nature.
Love that. What are some of the challenges that you're seeing, Lisa? You work with lots of companies from startup to really successful businesses. Where do you see them having the challenges the most as it relates to synergy?
You know, I take a systems approach all the time to my whole platform is about systems thinking. And in systems thinking, you really look at the whole. And I think sometimes what happens is businesses cut themselves short because they're really not thinking in terms of how does what we do impact our other departments, or how does what we do impact other parts of my business. And so they end up with this, what I call the bits and pieces approach. And I think oftentimes they, you know, say, oh, we need to do this, or we need to do that, and we need to do this. Whether it's, you know, oh, I need to do my social media marketing, and that's going to bring in more clients, or, oh, we need to be focused on customer service, and that way we'll be really great, we'll do really great. And instead, they're not looking at the whole to say, wait a minute, how do all of these pieces fit together so that there is a continuous stream in and between all of the systems that are in this business. Yet when they do take that approach, they create flow, they create focus, and they create that synergy that just happens. And I think to some degree, you know, we were talking offline about continuous quality improvement. You know, when things started to go south, what happened? Well, the training budgets got cut. All of the, you know, essentials got cut. And instead, what we have is a whole group of new employees who've never, ever heard about continuous quality improvement, who don't know how to manage their time through agenda management. You know, and that, too, is all about synergy and creating efficiencies and productivity.
I think that's very interesting. I think about not just the quality improvement part, but also how people at one time were rewarded. I know when I was in automotive, we had the quality improvement programs, which really encouraged that systematized thinking, and it did encourage a lot of what I'd call kind of three-dimensional conversations where we were trying to fix bigger, more complex issues. Mm-hmm. But we were also rewarded on profit sharing, mm-hmm. which made, we were kind of, at that moment in time, we were really heavily incented to synergize. So there was mm-hmm. there was less siloed thinking. And then just to your point, as things got tough, you had the training budgets cut, you had the, a lot of those types of quote-unquote events cut. And then what I also noticed is they took out profit sharing. So all of a sudden the nature of the culture became, again, very protective, and we just want to make sure that our department doesn't lose jobs, and if yours does, that's okay. We just want
right.
to keep our own.
Yeah, and look at the whole generation that's coming into the workforce. You know, they grew up on computers. They grew up on Facebook. They grew up on collaboration. They're not looking for that hierarchical stuff. Instead, they are more focused on, wait a minute, how can I expand my knowledge? I don't care if you're the president. I want to work with you. I'm not interested in titles. I want to look at the quality of the work. So we've also got to look at how the marketplace has changed and how to be able to adapt to that marketplace to continue the synergy.
That is such a key point, Lisa. In fact, I was talking to a client of mine who now they have they're a government department, and they have a number of employees where they have there's a certain title for it, and I just lost the name of it. But in essence, they can work from home a certain number of days per month. And one of the things that they're now struggling with is exactly what you're touching on here, Lisa, is that now how do we create synergy when not everyone's in the same room? You know, so for some of the employees, they're just they're just used to creating it through things like social media and the way that they collaborate naturally. And some of the seasoned employees that have been with sort of the old system or the old way of thinking that you have referred to, they're really struggling because their definitions of synergy was being in the same room together, like that synergy was by all of us being together. And it's been really interesting having conversations with them around how they're now redefining the word synergy in their workplace to work with this new model of working from a distance.
Yeah, the homeshoring had a huge impact, I think, especially on the bigger corporations when they were trying to reduce their overhead and said, you know, in order to do that, these employees can actually work from home. We've got new technology. Everybody can tap into those web-based systems, and they can literally do the customer service, a lot of the customer service at home, right? Employees love it because they don't have to spend gas getting to work, and they're more productive because they don't have that commute every day. It gives the company greater advantage in many ways in reducing their overhead because people are working from home. So there is a win-win, but you're right. It's a whole different model that people and mindset that our people are working from.
Now, on that, are you seeing any really creative ways that companies are actually approaching, I guess, solving that issue?
Well, I think we still have that struggle with how much they want their employees to be on social media during work time. So you're always going to have that struggle and how beneficial it is. But, yeah, I think for larger corporations, what I'm seeing in the marketplace is they're having their own intranets or internal areas where people can meet and collaborate and be on, and they're trying to, in that way, instill an environment with where people can collaborate and synergize in that way. So it's kind of the internal Facebook, if you will, or internal LinkedIn. For more of the larger companies. I think with entrepreneurs, you're seeing them collaborate through even online networking. You know, they call into a webinar or teleseminar, and now they suddenly are networking with people around the globe. You know, we see that with the Evolutionary Business Council, as we get to know people from all over the world on these collaboration calls. So there's a lot of ways that technology is really adding to the synergy that happens not only in small businesses but large corporations.
Brilliant. One of the things I want to make sure I ask, and this has been on my mind since you said yes for synergy, you are such a leader, Lisa, around systems approach, and I love that. I mean, when I've talked to you before, there's such great potential for companies and organizations to look at how they systematize their work practices. You're a master at that. I'm going to make a hunch here. Tell me what you think of this. I'm suspecting that companies and organizations who really create strong systems that work for them, their synergy might be higher because their staff are less frustrated with duplication that's going on or having to fix things that aren't working because they've got a strong system. Do you see that kind of connect in the work you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. In my, I do a Wake Up Profitable intensive every year, and I share my entrepreneurial edge system. There's three steps to that that I think can apply not only to small business, but and the program is centered around small business, but larger corporations. If you just took the generality of it, of these three steps in mind, I think that they could apply them. Number one, you've got to master your inner entrepreneur. Now, for corporations, it would be, you know, mastering that inner employee, always continuous development, personal development, because when there's continuous development in any organization, a continuous training, what you're going to find is that people operate at a different level, because when you know more, you do better. You look at things very different, and you create leverage and efficiency. So really, that first step is making sure that there's that internal connection to development. Number two, you want to systematize and monetize. And that's all about looking at these internal controls, internal processes that you have and how it affects the whole. And, of course, the profitability section because you want to monetize that. And then thirdly, executing your, I call it the business blueprint. but making sure that everybody is aligned in goals and objectives and in actions, and that they don't take, and that there's metrics involved, and so that everybody's focused. And I think sometimes there's not enough clarity, there's not enough synergy between the, and the more complexity that you have in organizations, the more opportunity you have for misalignment. So it's important to get back to the basics and say, okay, wait a minute, what are our 3 to 5 goals as a corporation we're going to do? Well, small employees can or small entrepreneurs can implement that too. What are my main 3 to 5 goals? What are those objectives that are going to get me there? What are those action items? Who's going to be involved in those action items? And when you align that through all of the departments in a bigger organization, you get synergy. When you align that all in a small, for a small entrepreneur, you have synergy and you have that momentum and flow that makes doing business effortless.
I love what you just said, and I have to ask, what obstacles, when I think of you talking about trying to synergize with groups all the way across the board in a company, for instance, I listen to that and go, that sounds fantastic, but I know for a fact that there are a lot of companies that really struggle to do that effectively just because of the nature of the way people show up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that? And I guess my question is, you know, what are the biggest obstacles that you see in creating that alignment?
Mm-hmm. From the top, I would say it's creating that clear vision that everyone gets around. Everybody knows what the vision is. And you also identify, again, those 3 to 5 goals that you're going to work on that everybody connects to. Everybody in the organization connects to those 3 to 5 goals in one way, shape, or form. Again, it goes back to the 3 steps that I mentioned. Are they doing development? Are they doing continuous development from the top down? Are there ways to systematize and improve efficiencies? And number 3, are they really executing in a way that is clear, that is precise, that has metrics, that is measurable, and is there that accountability? Now, in organizations that struggle with that, it's because one of those 3 elements are missing.
Mm. Very interesting.
Yeah, they're not doing the development, they're not having the systems to understand each other, or they just don't have that very clear plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of the small businesses, and actually a lot of the, I would say small businesses that I'm working on right now, one of the things that I'm hearing from my clients is that they've come out of a time that in where we live in Canada, there was a huge boom. Of course, things went crazy. So people were busy, couldn't keep up with the work demands. And then, of course, the economic situation changed and things slowed down. And the conversations I'm hearing a lot in the workplace now are that companies are finding they've got to recreate that sense of synergy because we know we're going into this upswing again. And it's exciting for me to hear employers thinking about that now, to hear these businesses thinking about the importance of synergy because, the work I do with businesses around resilience, I know that the more synergy there is in a team, typically the better they're going to be able to handle change and other challenges that we know are going to happen because business is business. And are you seeing any changes right now in the whole concept of synergy, Lisa?
Oh, I am. I think you're right. The conversation is beginning with people really having conversations around, you know, things are getting better. What do we need to do with our bench strength here? I think you've had a number of people who have stayed in the workforce who have delayed retirement, and now you're going to see them leaving, and, you know, people are thinking, uh-oh, we need to really think about, do we have succession planning in place?
Yeah.
You know, because they went through all that downsizing. And how are we going to be able to retain some of the knowledge that we had? And how are we going to deal with this brand new workforce that's coming in who have very different ideas about how to get work done? You know, it's not about, you know, micromanaging. It's about collaboration and synergy. And they have a whole different idea of even how to manage their careers, this big shift that has taken place in there. There's a lot of people that, you know, saw what downsizing had done and thought they'd be at the same employer for 30 years. Those children are now in the workforce, and they're saying, you know what, I'm probably not going to be here for 30 years because I saw my aunt, uncle, mother, father, whatever, get downsized. So I get that. And now I need to manage my career. So how am I going to do that, and how easy are you going to make it for me to do that? And it's not going to be hierarchical. It's going to be that synergy, that collaboration. It's going to be a very different mindset coming in, and if you want to retain those employees, you know, what are the expectations? And maybe it's not even about retaining those employees because they get that they're not going to be at that company for long. They may have to leave. So then the challenge becomes, how are we going to stay in touch with them so that when they get the required education or experience that we can't maybe offer, that they come back to us as an employer? You know, so it's changing that whole thought process about employees and how work is done.
And, you know, it's interesting because you've got my wheels turning now about my days when I was in automotive, because I came in at, you know, I was interning while I was in university and then joined, you know, kind of fresh out of the gates. And one of the things that I always thought was so interesting is the concept of synergy was really problematic at that point, because they hired these, you know, kids to come in and be the out-of-the-box thinkers. But a lot of the times the generations above were very threatened by out-of-the-box. This is the way we've always done things. And I always joke that, you know, I was hired for my out-of-the-box thinking, and then the minute I got in the doors, they kept, you know, hitting me over the head and going, get back in the box, get back in the box. And, you know, they can be very nervous, you know, to get back in the box. So I think it's interesting. Like, I don't know if this problem is actually a new problem or if just the damage that it actually does to a business is becoming that much more evident, because I know a lot of people, you know, some of the top talent that were recruited in early on have all since left automotive and moved on to other companies that had more room for collaboration and synergy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's this whole shift on how work is done. Before it was bricks and mortar, and now it's not uncommon for somebody to be calling you from their home office. And, you know, maybe they leave work and they go to see their child play a soccer game, and then they come back to work at night because they can dial in, and they can still get the job done. And again, these are the shifts that are happening. Then technology is making it easier than ever to get the work done. But of course, it creates other complexities about confidentiality and privacy and all those other things that a growing business needs to address.
You bet. Yeah, I was smiling, Lisa, as you were talking about technology and how things can be so immediate. And I remember one of the first presentations that I did, I was in front of a huge audience, and it was just when the world started texting. And I looked out, and all these people have their head down. I'm looking at part lines throughout, this wave of part lines and scouts throughout the audience, and I thought, what's going on here? I've lost my crowd. And then at the break, all these people came up to me and said, oh, this is so fun. We're tweeting out your quotes. And, I mean, I'm still learning at this point what tweeting is. So, and then I thought, wow, it was amazing. I got back to my office, and there was all these comments about things that people had or things that they had learned or something that really resonated for them. And I thought, oh, this is synergy on a whole new level. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and where there's opportunity, certainly there's opportunity for them to participate in a way that's interactive. Wonderful, great. The other piece is, remember, going back to mastering that inner entrepreneur or that inner person and that personal development, it is causing this whole other relationship building to get on the wayside, because people just text rather than actually have a conversation with someone. So conflict resolution, how do you know when somebody is mad at you, or how do you resolve it face-to-face? you know, you hear about breakups through through texting, or, you know, resignations through texting or whatever. You know, there's not only etiquette, but, gee, even before you had to deal with somebody who was yelling or screaming or upset. And I think to some degree some of those skills are being lost. So, again, that goes back to the development piece. So development, systematizing, monetizing, and then executing the business blueprint.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, time just flows. I'm always amazed, Lisa. Christine and I always say after our shows, wow, where did that 30 minutes go? This was just an incredible conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. And I was thinking, just to close us off, what might be interesting is if we had each of us go around and perhaps leave the listening audience with what we think is, for each of us, either the most important question that you're left with or the most important takeaway on this whole topic of the principle of synergy. So what about for you, Lisa? What would you like to leave as we close?
Well, there's one thing, a quote that I always say, and it goes something like this. If you can do work that's in alignment with who you are in an environment that allows you to be who you are with a level of awareness, it's not work.
Mm. Love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Christine, what about you?
Well, and I think I would just build right on that, where I think, you know, anytime you're working with mutual parties and they're all focused on serving the end customer, serving the, you know, the benefit of the good of the company, whatever it is, but having mutual alignment on who we're serving at the end of the day, I really think that that helps aid in synergizing and synergistic thinking.
Mm-hmm. What really stood out for me was when, Lisa, you said getting back to the basics, and it just reminds me how important it is for all of us in business and for the clients that I deal with corporately to really understand their corporate vision and their mission, because it's hard to create synergy and get people behind something when they don't quite understand what it is. So we've got to communicate that so clearly, and I appreciate that reminder today, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's an honor to be here, so I appreciate it.
Well, it was great having you on the show, and as always, Christine and I have so much fun with this series. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us, and Christine, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you.
And have a great night, everyone, a great day, everyone, whenever you're listening to this, and thanks for joining our series.